one to the
You still have one? Baruch Hashem. There's two topics I would like to do over the next couple of weeks. I would like to spend a couple of weeks on the topic of doing business. Who are you obligated to do business with? Should you do business with Jews? And if you have a choice between doing business with a Jew and a non-Jew, and I know it's a very sensitive subject, and people say to me all the time that it's easier to do business with this one rather than the other one. What are your obligations? What are your obligations? Who should you be doing business with? That's the first question.
And
price-wise, it's more expensive sometimes to do business with a Jew. What's that?
Convenience.
Some people say that some Jews are more difficult to deal with. I'll be honest with people. What people tell me, you know. And do you have?
They can screw you faster than a Jew.
Yeah, that's we're gonna have Rachmanis on the Jews, you know. But what's the story? Do you have obligations of those sort or not? It's a very important subject for us to go through and really understand. Sometimes, as you said, it costs more money to do business with a Jew. What are your obligations? Secondly, I want to discuss another question about people come to you for a loan, and I'm going to ask you a question which you'll not find anywhere in Shas where this question is discussed. How, you know, tzedakah is very clear. Somebody comes to you for charity, you have to give him this and this amount. How much of a loan are you obligated to give to a person? Nowhere in Shas will you see a number on this specific question. Okay? That's another thing which we should discuss. And this will be a couple of weeks. And then afterwards we'll go into the famous question of baltolin. When you have a worker and you have an obligation to pay, when are you obligated to pay? Right? You have to pay the first week, the second week, so on and so forth. And I have a whole bunch of my mekaymus, which I can, Bezat Hashem, next week I'll have copies for everybody, so everybody can share in all the tshuvot and all the mekaymus that we actually will learn. So take a look first at the Gemara in Masechtas Bava Metzia. Daf Ayin Aleph Omen Aleph. Take a look first in Bava Metzia. Okay, there's an interesting Gemara here in Masechtas Bava Metzia. The Gemara discusses, I have some Psachim and I have some Bava Metzia. The Gemara has a discussion about what you're mechuyif to do with a Yid, what you're mechuyif to do with a Goy. The Gemara has a discussion about lending money with ribit, right? If you're allowed to lend money with interest, if you're allowed to lend money to a Goy with ribit or not, it goes into the famous question where the pasuk it says la nochri sashich, right? And the question in the Gemara is how you read the word sashich, right? Where the yud in the word is. If it means sashich, means that you can take a bite out of, right? Which means you can, because ribis is to take a bite, you can take ribis from him. Or it means the opposite, that you can let him take a bite out of you, right? Remember the two ways of reading the Gemara there, which is not relevant to our discussion. If you can be malo the ribis with a goy, in general we say that you could. Let's not, either the Gemara is to Mahalchim, it's talking about a Tamid Chacham, who's not going to learn to do that to other Jews, or it's talking about Kedei Chayev, who needs to do it for a living. Let's leave that alone. Okay, Ayin Aleph, Amar Aleph, 71a, towards the top. The Gemara says afterwards as follows. Iki demasin lo lahodar Rav Huna aha. Some say that this discussion of Rav Huna is referring to this case. The Tanya Rav Yosef, said, Im kesef talve es ami, es ha'oni imach. Im kesef, if you lend money, es ami, the people from my nation, es ha'oni, the poor man, imach, should be together with you. So the Gemara says as follows. Ami v'nochri, if you have to lend money to Ami, somebody of our nation, v'nochri, and to a Gentile, so what does the Gemara say? Ami koidim, first you give it to the Jew. Okay, but this is pretty simple. Two people come to you for a loan. One is Jewish, one is not Jewish. Who do you give the loan to? The Jewish person. So that doesn't seem to be, there's no complication there. Oni v'yashir, a wealthy man and a poor man. Now remember, I'll get soon into the more complicated questions when one is coming to borrow money with interest, with a heta iska, and one is coming to borrow money for free. That's obviously going to be a bit more complicated. But just a simple case. The oni comes for a loan, the ashe comes for a loan. Right? Who do you give the loan to? Oni. Give it to the poor man. Oni koidim. Aniyecha, your poor people. Vaniyeircha, right? Your own people living in your house, your own family, need the money. So what happens then? Aniyecha koidman. So your poor people come first. Or aniye ircha, right? Or it's aniye if it's the poor people, ircha of your city, vaniye iracheres, right? If people in this shul that need money, comes before people from another shul. People in this city need money, comes before people from another city. Aniye ircha koidman. Amar, we said before, Ami v'nachri, if people from our nation, v'nachri and the Gentile, come, Ami koidim, so people from our nation go first. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, that's quite obvious. Am Reb Nachman, Am Ali Huna, so Reb Huna said, Lo nitzracha dafilu l'nachri biribit il Yisrael b'chinam, right? Oh, so what does the Gemara say? You have an option. You can give the money to a goy, and you're going to charge 10% interest. You're going to give the money to a Yid, and what are you going to charge? Nothing. Who do you give the loan to? To the Jew. Okay, so now this is a very, very strong Gemara. Because if you think about this Gemara says very clearly, you have the ability to give the loan to the Yid or to the Goy, and when you're going to give it to the Goy, you're going to make money, and when you're going to give it to the Yid, you're not going to make money, and you have an obligation to give it to the Yid. So what do you suddenly see? Do you have to give money to a Yid? And think about it, you're losing money. Right? You're losing money to give to a Yid. Well, not so quick. I'll redefine that. You're not really losing money, you're just not making money. Okay, that's possibly a difference. You do find times, that's the difference. I will say one thing. There's no proof from our Gemara yet that you're obligated to pay more to do business with a Jew. That's not what it says here. What it does say is that if you have the situation where you can earn money with a Yid, and you can not earn money and help a Yid, you can earn money with a Goy, you have an obligation to help the Yid. Okay, now,
obviously, you have to seek out a Jew to lend him money.
What's that?
You have to seek out a Jew. There's always Jews who need money.
Absolutely not. It's talking about the two came through at the same time. As a matter of fact, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Ahavas Chesed, and by the way, the Chafetz Chaim on Ahavas Chesed is by far the most extensive work on this subject. And the Chafetz Chaim says in Ahavas Chesed, let's say the Goy came to you an hour ago, and the Jew came to you an hour later, and you gave your commitment to the Goy already. It's done. It's when they both come at the same time, or you know, you see him on his way, but if you don't see him on his way, it's nothing. 100%. It has to be that the Goy is already here, and he came to you for the money. He came to you already for the money. Now, I want to ask a question.
So if you're doing business with them already, you don't have to switch.
Wait. One second. So now you're going to go into a question. Simon's asking a question, which I plan to discuss in a few moments. What is going to be the halacha when you're doing business with a Jew, with a guy? Or let me even redefine your question to a step further. What's going to be the halacha if you have a certain amount of money which you're liquid, and that amount of money, you plan to do investments with it. And a Jew comes to you and a Jew says, I want the money for a loan. Are you obligated to give away the money and not do the investment? Which, think about it, that's really what our Gemara is saying, right?
Same case.
Huh?
Same case as lending to the goy with the prophet.
Okay. Well, why not?
Because both of them, when you're investing it, you still have the ability to get that money back. When
right.
you get to a goy,
right.
6 months it might be, a year, when you're lending the money, mm-hmm. you're lending it for a time period. Mm-hmm. When you're investing it, you're going to buy stock, you can sell it tomorrow, and you get the money back.
But let's say I have an investment. I have an investment which comes to me. I want to buy a piece of real estate. And another Jew, a poor man, knocks on my door, and the poor man says, I need a loan for free. So am I obligated not to do the investment? It can't be the answer is totally yes, even though the Gemara says so, because then you can't do business. You'd be totally shut down tomorrow. That can't be. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why I'm saying it's very interesting, because it's a very ambiguous question. The Poskim don't deal with it that much. And I'll read to you soon what the Chafetz Chaim says on it. The Chafetz Chaim actually answers this question. Go ahead. Chayecha Kodim. Right?
Absolutely.
I got to make a living
common
too.
Sense.
It's like common sense. Can't give me a ruling that means I'm not going to make a living. So obviously we're talking about some extra cash here. But how much extra cash? How do you define what's extra and what's called chayecha? You know, you have already $10 million in the bank. It's still chayecha at this point. So So that's why I want to go through the sugya level. It's extremely important, and that's why I said in the introduction that one of the things which, for me, bothered me for years till I found the Avos Chesed that speaks about it, doesn't say anywhere in the Torah when a person comes to you for a loan how much money you're obligated to give to him. It says in the Torah clearly that when a person comes to you for a loan, for tzedakah, up to a tenth. It says that if you're a generous person, then you can give up to a fifth. The Chofetz Chaim says that if you're a person that's extremely wealthy, you're allowed to give more than a fifth, right? Usually you're not allowed to give more than a fifth of your money for tzedakah, because then you're going to have to come onto the community for money again. It says if a man is a very wealthy man, and even if he gives away half his money, he's not going to have a problem. Then you're allowed to give away up even more than a fifth. There's a Tshuva in the Divrei Chaim, the Rav of Sons, where the Divrei Chaim said that if you're giving away more than a fifth for a kapara, you want to have forgiveness for your averot, you're allowed to give more than a fifth. There's a Tshuva in the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer discusses that there are certain people that their salary is very, very sort of guaranteed. He says, like a Rav of a community, a Rav of a kehillah, he says he doesn't really have to put away money because he knows, you know, like the Chassam Sofer knew he was always going to make a living. So he didn't really have to be concerned. He can also give away more than a fifth. But there are specific guidelines, how much money he can give, how much money he can't give. You don't find by a loan any specific guideline. Okay?
There's no shear.
There's no shear. So how much do you have to give?
No shear.
So there's no obligation?
No, Im
kesef talves ami. Im is not if, im is
achoyt.
You should, you have to, right? That's one of the four ims that are, you have to, right? That's what it is.
Your own option, no? It's your own
option. It means you have to. Why it says im is a discussion.
Is it how much?
So $2 enough when a guy wants money to make yontif? So how do you figure this out?
So
one second. So let's get to in a second. I want to ask you another question. I want to ask you another question. Before we get into answer that question, a wealthy man comes over to you. Forget about the poor man for a second. Let's talk about happy times and talk about the rich people. And a rich man comes over to you and he says, I need a loan from you for a large sum of money. You have the money. Is there a mitzvah in that case also to give him a loan? Or is the mitzvah only to give a poor man a loan? Right? Is there a mitzvah to give a rich man a loan? Now, why does a rich man need a loan? So the answer is, he just put a large amount of money in an investment. He's presently tied up, he has no cash. A good investment came. He's definitely going to be able to cover it. Do you have an obligation to give a loan to a rich man too? That's the first question that we should deal with. So the Sma in Shulchan Aruch says absolutely yes. I'm reading for you from Simon Sadik Zion. Okay, Bezat Hashem, by next week I'll have copies for everybody of all these papers. We can all read this together. The Ksiv Pashas Mishpotim, it says in Pashas Mishpotim. First he says, Mitzvah Saseh Lahalvas Lani Yisrael. Okay, it's a mitzvah to give to the poor men in Klai Yisrael a loan. Then he says as follows, the Ksiv Pashas Mishpotim in Kesef Talvas Ami Yasoni Imoch, Vesil Kanoisha. He perish Rashi Shom, Vuma Gemorah. He says as follows, Miloshin Asher is Choyva. Right? In kesef is not a option. In kesef is a must. You have to give a loan. V'chein mashmoik kasha. When? Talva kasbacha es ami. Talvei give it to the yid. V'loi lakam and not to a goy. Il eiza me ami. Who in my nation should you give the money to? Firstly, es ani. Il eiza ani. Which poor man? Es she'imcha. The man that's close to you. L'kulam loiti loikenoishim. Then, there's another halacha. If you know he doesn't have the money, you can't go after him for the money. Which, by the way, should be another shiur which we should do, because also a very fascinating topic, of what your rights are when you collect money in order not to be over on the isur of leisil loy kenoish. It's an extremely important topic. We know he doesn't have. Since it says es ami, but it doesn't say to give the money to who? To what? It doesn't say just don't give it to a goy. It says give it to anyone from my nation. Shmamine is approved from the Pasuk. The mitzvahs aseihi afilu lahalvas lo usher. You should even have a mitzvah aseihi to give money to a rich man. Hatzorach lefisho, who needs it just for a cup, for the time being. Okay? Ela she oni koydem loy. Okay? So now, if you have an option of giving money to a rich man or to a poor man, you should give it to the poor man if both are asking you for the money. But this is the same mitzvah as say to give a loan to a rich man. Okay, so nobody should think the rich man comes to you for a loan, you say to the rich man, look, you have enough money in the bank, and just because you have a new investment, I don't want to give you the money. You should be giving him the money.
Well, let's say you can only reach a portion of what he needs.
What do you mean?
He needs $100,000 and you're only willing to give him, or you can afford to give him $20,000.
Okay.
Is there an obligation to give him at that point, or could you push him off and tell him,
thank you.
You can tell him, you know, get the other 80 and come back to me.
Why not? Whatever. Thank you very much. Whatever option you, whatever ability you have to help him, that's an obligation that you have to help him. 100% you should.
But if you have a feeling you're not going to get paid back.
Oh, Givaldig. That's the big question. There's a very wealthy man.
They were loaned to get paid back.
A very wealthy man said to me recently, he said, I want you to know I've been given loans for a lot of years already, and my policy is when I don't intend to give the money for, as tzedakah, I don't give the loan. That's what he said to me. He says, because I never get back the loans. This is what he actually said to me. Okay, you know, look, there are certain people, there are different ways of giving the loan. You can have arevus, you can have co-signers, you can have a mashkoin. There are ways of doing it that you should get the money back, but that's his policy. And I've seen him do many loans, and the truth is, I've watched how he does the loans, and it's pretty obvious that he's not getting it back. You know, it's almost like the Yidden in Mitzrayim, you know, Vayash Ilum, when they went and they borrowed from the Mitzrayim. The Gemara says in Brachas Bal Korcham, right? They forced them to borrow. You know, the truth is, but a Yidden in Mitzrayim has really belonged to the Yidden, right? The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, there was once that debate between Gevir ben Pasisa, right? What's that? Yeah, he was a hunchback. He was a hunchback, and what happened was that they had a debate, and the melech called him. One of the arguments they had in front of the king was that the Jews stole much money from the Mitzrayim. So what he did was he said to him, he made a cheshbon, how many Jews worked in Mitzrayim for how many years, and he says, if we'll figure out the wages, you owe us far more than we took, right? Right, so he ran away, he got insulted, he said to him that if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to kick you and I'm going to straighten out your hunchback, right? That's what the Gemara says. He says, if you straighten out my hunchback, then I'll have to pay you because you'll be a good doctor, right? That's the whole, that's the Gemara, right in the beginning of Chelek in Sanhedrin. So the truth is that loan was not a real loan, and many loans are not real loans. Okay, so what happens if you feel or if you know you're not getting back the money? Do you have to give a loan or not? Zokta Chavetz Chaim? Absolutely not. A loan is only something you're obligated to give if it's supposed to get it back. Or else you don't. You want, listen, the Rambam writes that a loan is the highest form of tzedakah. Because by a loan, you make a person feel good when you give him the loan. And he can go and he can make money and he can actually build himself up again. So I'll read to you the Lashon of the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed. He says as follows. In Boy Yisrael V'Knani, Lulavis may etzloy, if a yid and a goy come to you to borrow money, vishnei and bishave, they're both equal, which means, in what? Al mashkoinois, right? They both are giving a mashkin. Al betchoinois, the promissory notes, to return it. Toivois, there's good guarantees, then you loyvali Yisrael, then you give it to Yisrael. But if you don't intend to get back the money, and you feel the person won't give you back the money, give the money to the goy, the Chofetz Chaim says. And you know who he quotes as a proof? You know his source? He says, push it. It's obvious. That's the Chavos says, yeah? So it's obvious if you're not going to get the money. That's not called a loan. That's not called a loan. Now, the truth is, I'm not going to say it's so simple, because we all know of a certain loan that we're obligated to give, even though we know we're not going to get back the money. Right? It's a pasuk in the Torah. What happens? The yid comes to you for a loan when? Erev Shemitah, right? Hisham elcha pen ti edavim levavchem b'liyah leimai, right? Kav shnas hasheva, shnas hashmita, v'ro eincha b'chicha ha'evyon, v'lo yisiten loy, right? V'kar lecha l'Hashem, v'hoi b'chalchet. Right? That's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So, it's interesting, because if you read that pasuk, it seems to be that in a loan you're supposed to subject yourself to a certain amount of risk. So what do you do with that pasuk? Good. We'll deal with that. It's a good question. But firstly, for the Pesach Halacha, The Chofetz Chaim says clearly that if you're not going to get the money back, you're 100% right, you have no obligation to give that loan whatsoever. That's number one. Now, the Chofetz Chaim then goes on to deal with the second question. And the second question is, how about if your living is from giving money? You're a money lender. That's what you do for a living. You give out money to people with interest, right? What do they call them? Hard money lenders, right? That's what a person does. And you're constantly giving money to Goyim, and that's how you make a living. So are you obligated in this case too to give your money first to the Yid and then to the Goy? And the Chofetz Chaim says, no. Why? Chayecha kardim, right? He says that if that's your main panasa, then you don't have to do it. All right? And he says every person has to go and make a living from his own. Then the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. He says, however, if you lend money professionally for a living, but the person only came to borrow a small sum of money, then you have to give him the money. Because that small sum of money, it's very interesting, the Chofetz Chaim, because you read the Chofetz Chaim is, to an extent, basing it on feeling, because it's not really, you know, written anywhere in the Gemara. He says, for a small sum of money, then you already have an obligation to give it to a Yid. And how does he know? He says, because of that pasuk I just quoted. Of the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh that you have to lend the money, even if it's Erev Shemitah, and even if you're going to lose the money. So the Chofetz Chaim says it's a Kal V'chomer. Malach, if you're going to lose the money totally, you're still obligated to lend the money. Kal V'chomer, if you're not going to lose the money, but you're going to get it back, of course you have to lend it to the Jew. So just for starters, it seems to be that the way the Chofetz Chaim reads that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh is because it's to a poor man, it's a small sum of money, and he needs it literally as tzedakah, he has nothing to eat. Interesting, if you start to read in the way the Chofetz Chaim was mechalik between the different psukim. Okay, so now, then the Chofetz Chaim deals with the next question. The next question the Chofetz Chaim deals with, he says, let's take the Jew and the Goy out of the picture, and let's talk about a Jew to a Jew. And two Jews come to you. One Jew comes to you to borrow money, but he's going to pay you interest. The other Jew comes to borrow money for free. And one is poor, and one is not poor. So who do you give it to? So the Chofetz Chaim says again, if that's what you do for a living, you're entitled to make a living. But if it's a small amount of money, you should give to the poor person. And the Chofetz Chaim says at the end that it's unclear, and you should really weigh your options very well, because the Yetzer Hara is very good at getting involved in this subject. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes, because you always say, I'm trying to make a living, and I don't have to go and give the loan. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says at the end. Then the Chofetz Chaim says that he would like to know what is the actual shear. Forget about a poor man, forget about a rich man. Somebody comes to you for money. How much money are you really obligated to lend to him? So the Chofetz Chaim says he searched all over, and he hasn't found any source whatsoever of a true sum. And he says at the end, exactly what you said before, you have to really assess the situation. You have to assess the situation, how much money you have extra to lend, and how much money you feel the person needs, and how much money you feel the person can repay, and how much of a loan would be suffice to make the person happy. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes. So truthfully speaking, there's no real figure, and nobody can really answer that question. What's interesting is that Chofetz Chaim, in the Chelik Beis of Avos Chesed, in Perek Yud Ches, which is not anymore a Halacha Sefer, but it's more of like a Musa Sefer, and he writes advice, the Chofetz Chaim says, and his advice is, that you should take money, and you should, it's interesting what Chofetz Chaim writes. He says, you should take money that you have, and you should separate from your wealth a tenth for Maaser. He says, from the tenth that you separate for Maaser, you should split it. Two-thirds should be prepared to give tzedakah. One-third should be available for lending. That's what he writes. He goes into a whole discussion, because you're really borrowing from the Aniyim. He has a discussion in the Gemara, if you're allowed to do that or not. But that's what the Chofetz Chaim writes. After the Chofetz Chaim writes that concept, the Chofetz Chaim says, and then, when you see that the money is sitting around for a while and nobody needs to borrow the money, So then you see, you can give away that money that you put away to give loans. And the Chafetz Chaim encourages very strongly that there should be gemachs, and people should do gemilas chesed. People should do all type of things to lend people, to lend things to poor people. Right? Today you have a gemach for just about anything you can ever possibly imagine. But that's what the Chafetz Chaim says at the end. So just to answer the question, a real share of how much you're obligated to lend to the poor person is actually undefined. Now, let's go into the big question. And the big question is, which everybody asked right away, and this is what we really have to start proving, is the answer to this question. I have a situation where I want to buy an item. And I can buy the item in one or two stores. We know already what the halacha is when it comes to a loan. For a loan, we said you should give it to the yid. Even if you give it to the goy, you're going to make ribbis. We said there's an exception to the rule if that's what you do for a living. Right? That's basically what we said. Now, let's talk about the next question, which is an extremely important question. If I would like to go and I would like to buy an item, right? I want to buy a tape recorder. I can go into a Jewish store, the price is going to be $100. I can go into a non-Jewish store, the price is going to be $90. Am I obligated to go and spend $10 more to buy it by the Jew or not? Right? That's a very common question that you have all the time. You go into one of these, like, you know, small local mom and pop stores, you're giving business to a Jew, but you're spending more money. You go, on the other hand, into a non-Jewish store, what happens? You are spending less money, but you're giving it to a non-Jew, right? What is the story? What's your obligation? Truth is, it's always a good idea to give business to another Jew, because if you don't give business to the other Jew, eventually you'll have to give him tzedakah. So you'll have to take care of him anyways. Might as well take care of him in a nice, coveting way. You know, you give him the actual, you know. And I always try as much as possible to deal with, to give the business to Jews. I mean, the truth is, a complicated question which people ask once in a while is, you do business with a Jew, because you know he needs the parnasah, but you're paying him 10% more, can you take that extra 10% out of your Meister account? That's a very interesting question. Well, no?
No, you can't.
Why not? Why?
Because he's not an Ani.
The question is if he's an Ani. But I don't know, some people, they're hardworking laborers, and it's Kedei Chaya. Yeah, if you know that he's a poor person. The truth is, there's a complicated discussion. What Meister is supposed to go for. According to the Chidah, Meister goes for all mitzvot. Right? According to the Chassam Sofer, Meister goes, it's a Taz and Shulchan Aruch, depends how you usually do, your practice usually is. But that's a very heavily debated point. No, if the person is not a tzedakah at all, then you have an issue. I mean, you're talking about interesting Meister questions. I have a person came to me recently that he gave a loan to a person. And the loan is outstanding already for the longest time, and to the extent where he knows he's never going to receive the money. There's absolutely no way he's ever going to get the money back. So his question was, if he, at this point, is allowed to repay the loan on his own from Moaz Maisa. Somebody owes me $100,000, right? I know he's never going to return the money to me. So I take $100,000 from my Meister account, and I repay the loan because this person needs tzedakah. No? What do you say to such a question? Make sense? Why not?
Paying someone's loan, you're not making a mitzvah. Are you making a mitzvah but paying someone's loan?
Let me ask you a different question. Let's say
there's a chayuv on borrow to pay back a loan also.
But he can't afford it. But and he went on.
Paying his loan, are you making?
Why not? You have a person that can't afford to pay his bills, right? And you want to give him a new start. So you pay off his loans.
Something else.
Just because I'm the person the money is owed to, I can't pay off his loans?
That's because you want to give him a new start, but not because you need to pay off his loans.
Do you have care on it?
What do you mean I have care? What was I have? I want the money back.
But you're not getting it.
I'll get it. I can go after him and wait for it and this and that. It's just very difficult for me to get it.
No, because you said that there's no way on earth you're getting money back.
What's that?
You said that part of the condition was...
There's no way b'derech hateva, but you know, who knows what can happen? You might want to get the money back.
Because maybe if he's hefker, he loses that money.
If he gives up? give no, okay, Nachanami, if he actually gives up the money. There's a truth on this question, the Noid of Yehuda. Noid of Yehuda has a truth on this question. Noid of Yehuda says you could deduct it from Maisa, but it has to meet three conditions. One condition is the person has to presently be an Ani. The other condition is a little complicated, I'll leave it for now. And the third condition that the Noid of Yehuda has is that when you finish repaying the loan, you need to approach him and tell him that the loan is paid off. And that's probably for your reason, because you want to give him a new start. But there is already a tshuva in the Noid of Yehuda, when Noid of Yehuda rules, that you can give a person a new start and pay off the loan that he owns you from your own Meister account if he's presently an Ani, and you're going to forgive the money, and you're going to let him know that he doesn't owe you the money anymore, then you can actually do that. Interesting, huh?
In a case where the guy, you know he's going under.
Right.
But he's living in a $5 million house from old money.
Yeah.
What is his status in that case?
Yeah, where do you define
it? Right now he's having a hard time.
Maybe that's the question.
He's having a hard time. Yeah. The guy is still driving around in his $100,000 car.
Yeah.
His $5 million house. But that's some money that he made 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How do you classify such a person?
You know, it's
you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to rent to Ani. You can rent to a rich person also.
Right.
Well, we said the Sma says that it's a mitzvah to lend to but the poor man comes before the rich man.
But doesn't mean that the rich man is not a mitzvah also.
Yes, absolutely. The truth is, the Gemara tells us, by the way, Yosef's truth is that when it comes to a rich man, the obligation to give tzedakah is much greater than to a poor man, because the poor man is used to much less. It says even to give him a horse to run in front of him and scream and then say that so-and-so is coming, right?
But is he still...
I want to tell you, remind me of a story. I had a couple of months ago a din Torah between a person lent a certain organization $200,000, and the organization said, we don't have the money to pay. So I turned to the organization and said, do you have any buildings? They says, yeah, absolutely, we have $10 million worth of buildings. So I said, very good, so let's take the money, you know, from one of the buildings. They said, yeah, we have $10 million of buildings and $18 million of mortgages. So how can I ever repay you, you know? So just because the person has a $5 million house, which is probably first mortgage and second mortgage and third mortgage and everything else.
It's paid for.
So, you know, it's paid for. What is he? Is there a lien against the house or not?
Is it his house?
No, absolutely, yes.
My question is as follows.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
God wants $100,000.
The guy owes me money in business. He says he's selling his house, and with the proceeds, he's paying back the people.
Let me tell you something. We're digressing a bit from the topic, but it's an important topic, and I see it's in the gayest. I'll speak about it. In Siman Tzadik Zayin in Shulchan Aruch HaYishuv Mishpat, there's a discussion of Misadrin Lebal Choyv. What does Misadrin Lebal Choyv mean? That means that you have a person that owes you money, and if you have a person that owes you money, that says in Siman Tzadik Zayin there's a discussion that if you have a person that owes you money, and you have I've had this many times. You have a person that owes money, and they come to the Din Torah, and the Din Torah says that Reuven has to pay Shimon this and this amount of money. So he says, yeah, very good, I'm willing to pay, but there's one problem, ainly, I don't have. That's what he says. So the Shulchan Aruch has a full discussion how you collect money. Alright? Now, there's a discussion if you can garnish his wages. There's a discussion if you take against his wife's wages. There's a discussion if he has a right to support his wife if he owes you money. There's a discussion of which possession, right? I've had some tirades already over people who said, I would, no problem, you don't want to pay me, I want your wife's jewelry. That's what I've already had. I even have a discussion where a person asked the person if another person he wants his dog. I mean, I've had all kind of interesting tirades where people went after other people's possessions. Shulchan Aruch discusses if you have 5 shirts, if you have to give some of your shirts away or not. I mean, all these things are discussed in Shulchan Aruch. But if you have a house, I'm telling you halacha l'maisa, and there is extra money, equity in the house that's not mortgaged against, absolutely you have to give up that part of the house. However, that's assuming that the obligation is a personal obligation. If a person borrows money from you, sometimes he borrows the money in the form of a limited liability. Correct? It's a business. There might be a limited liability there. There might not be a personal obligation. Was it under an LLC? Was it under a corporation? Right? Exactly. What?
guy comes to you, can I borrow $50,000? And you want to tell him.
Did he borrow for himself? Did he borrow for business?
Oman wants to borrow $50,000 from Reuven.
Right.
So
when he signed.
Go take $50,000 off on your house.
But when he signed Shimon, vice president of this corporation, or he signed his own name, and he signed. All these things have to be evaluated. Is there a personal obligation or not?
Wow. It's a handshake.
In other words, it's a personal guarantee he's talking about.
It's a personal guarantee?
It's a personal
and he has a house?
It's a personal loan.
Personal guarantee.
Now let me ask the next question.
I'm telling you. There's no LLC, there's nothing. That's
a personal guarantee.
It's a personal guarantee. So he has to pay. But let me ask a question. Let me ask a question.
Personal loan. Yeah,
halachically it's looked at, but we're talking about it's a law.
It's a regular law.
It's not.
I want to know who's bought personally. Not. It's a very important question.
He gave it to a personal. It was a personal loan.
I knocked on your door. Hello, my friend for 20 years. Can you lend me $50,000, please?
Okay.
I'd love to lend it to you, but you know something, I'm a little short right now. You have a $5 million house with no. Go to the bank and take $100,000. Take $1 million.
100% right. No, if you were short, you're not obligated to give money.
I said clearly. Anyway.
No, you're not going to say.
I just want to add one thing.
Again, on top of this. Then, when you're finally collecting your money, who says you're the only person he owes money to? Maybe he owes money to other people too. You have to evaluate all these things. There's a chayv rishon, there's a chayv mukdam. If you have a few people you owe money to, so who collects the money first? So there's mishibah, then there's the first person, the second person, you understand?
But if
all of these things have to be.
So he's mishav in the house, he could.
Absolutely, yes. By the way, if the house is in his name,
that's another thing.
Find out whose name the house is in. Maybe it's in his wife's name.
That's a question.
All right,
his wife belongs to him.
It's not so simple.
It's not so simple. The wife doesn't always have to pay. I've said there were cases where they asked for it, and it's very debatable. A lot of times the wife does not. There are certain items belong to the wife, and certain items of the wife belong to the husband. It's complicated. There's a lot of differences. We'll discuss it. If a person doesn't pay you what you have, how you can recover. We'll do a share of that. How you recover money when people owe you money. Fine. Okay. Let's get into our question, which we started to discuss here, and that is, you have a choice doing business with buying something from a Jew, buying something from a non-Jew. Who should you buy it from? Who do you have an obligation to go to? Now, what's that? I'm sorry? What do you have to patronize? Exactly. That's the first question. Now, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week, bring the full tshuva. There's a tshuva in the Ramad that discusses this question, but then we'll have a tshuva in the Mishpat Shalom that discusses it, and the Shaar HaMelech. There's quite a few tshuvas written on this. If you recall, I once told you a story, and I told you the story, and I read to you a different part of the tshuva, so Ramad, not this chedek of the Ramad. There was once a fellow whose name was Mark Antonio Justinian. Right? What do you know about Mark Antonio Justinian? There was the Maram Padova, right? Who was Ramosha Padova, reprinted the Rambam, right? After he reprinted the Rambam, he went to what the Ramah calls a Yentaloma, right? The Yentaloma was a publisher. And he printed the Rambam based with his own publisher, who was a non-Jew. After he printed the Rambam, the Maram Padova invested a lot of his money and a lot of his time into this. This Mark Antonio Justinian was upset that he didn't use him. I told it to you because of a totally different shayla. What was the shayla we discussed then? Then we discussed the question of Hasagas Gevul, right? That was the discussion. This Ramah has four halakim. The first chalik was to discuss the Hasagas Gevul question. The second chalik was to discuss if the psak of the Ramah is binding over a guy. That was the second question. The third question was if you have an obligation to do business with a Talmid Chacham over a regular person. And we said that yes, and the Ramah said Kavachoyim between a Talmid Chacham and a guy. The fourth question was when you have an option of buying something, should you buy it from a Yid or buy it from a guy? That part of the tshuva I never discussed. And that part of the tshuva is what we have to apply now to our shir. That's the question. So the remark you're all well familiar with, and I'll read to you the tshuva, which is written in the remark. He says as follows, Hayesoit HaGadol HaShlishi. I told you there are four sections, only have 2-3 more minutes, so we'll just get a bit of a start. The Yesoit HaGadol HaShlishi, he quotes a medrash in Torah's Kahanim in Parashas Bahar. The Pasuk tells us, V'chisimkri mimka la'misecha oikolam yad ha'misecha, right? Lom the Torah, the embossed lignois. The Torah tells you, if you want to do a purchase, k'nei miyad ha'misecha. The first thing to do, buy from the Jew. Right? First, you need to buy from a Jew. V'chein l'mechir is similarly when it comes to a sale. If two people want to purchase an item from you, who should you sell it to? To a Jew. Hine hu behediyah mefurish, afil lo hoya hagon hanal. So forget about the previous discussion of Tamid Chacham or not. You have an obligation always to go and to the Jew. Now, what's the question? But what did this Yentalomer, right? This Mark Antonio Justinian, this publisher, what did he do? He lowered his prices drastically. And if you bought the Rambam from Mark Antonio Justinian, you bought the Rambam for very cheap. If you bought the Rambam from the Ram Palavov, you paid a lot of money. So do you have to go to the Jew and spend more money on your Rambam or not? So the Ein Loimid Zeh Davki Kishakuti VaYisrael Noisin BeErech VeMekav Echad. That's only when the two of them pays are on the same price. But how about if one is expensive and one is cheap? Shakuti Moizel, but if the guy is cheap, you go to the Jew. So the Ramah says, no, absolutely not. Why? Because we learned the Gemara in Ezi Hineshech, which we started the shir with this Gemara. He says as follows. Rabbi Yosef says, I'm Kesef Talmas Ami. And what does the Gemara say? Ami, right? Oni v'oshir, oni koidem. So the Gemara says, Ami v'kuti poshit, in Mishani. What did the Gemara answer in the beginning of the shir? It's coming to tell me, v'kuti v'ribis. The goy is going to get ribit, right? Going to collect extra money. And to the Jew, right? You're not going to get any extra money. Okay? That's how the Ramah says. So now we suddenly see that the Ramah extended our Gemara to doing business, to sales. You sell it even if you're getting less money from the Jew. And for purchases, even though you're paying more money than the Jew. But then the Ramah says, but what am I talking about? It's not a good comparison at all. Because in our case, all you're doing is not earning money, but you're not losing. Because, right, we know that in Hilchos Chalamoid as Menias Revach, right? All's happening is you're giving away your money, you're just not going to earn. But here, you're paying and you're losing money, right? So do I have that obligation too or not? And that will, Bazat Hashem, continue. Let's tell you, the Ramah says that Svora is a Dova Ha'ovet. That's the Svora. He doesn't like what you said. He said, the Ramah says, you'll see Svora. That Svora is a Dova Ha'ovet.